Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, May 20th, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. And how are you, Brian?
Full of piss and vinegar.
I expect nothing less. Also, restroom down the hall, first door on the right. John Martellaro, how are you?
Hi, I'm full of cashews.
Then I believe you're going to need a second door on the left.
Okay.
Yeah, and I am full of neither, but hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Casper, and I'm really excited about that, and you will be too, because I'll be talking about them soon. But before we get there, I want to talk about a change in the a new piece of news that's come out of this whole Rule 41 amendment. And so the backstory is Rule 41 is part of the procedural system that the federal government uses, or federal government law enforcement agencies use, as part of their evidence collection system related to criminal cases. And so the Department of Justice has been pushing for the past few years to get a change to the way the guidelines related to issuing warrants for like digital evidence, something that you would get, say, from someone surfing the internet or information stored on their computer. They've been pushing to get this changed so that magistrate judge could issue warrants that extend beyond that federal magistrate judge's specific jurisdiction. And so they could issue a warrant that would be enforceable or applicable nationwide or even worldwide. And so these changes have to go to the Supreme Court. This is one of the administrative responsibilities of the Supreme Court, and they review these proposed changes and then decide if they're acceptable or not. And this year they decided that's acceptable. And so if this goes into effect, which at this point there's no reason to assume it's not because it's a procedural thing, that starts in December. But we have this window of time where the public and Congress can look at these administrative rule changes and decide if something else needs to happen. And there's been a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth because people are saying that the way these changes work, it essentially gives the Department of Justice and the FBI the ability to conduct mass surveillance and to lump anyone into a mass search warrant simply by using software on their computer that allows encryption and by using things like a virtual private network for conducting secure online activities or transactions. And it's being presented as this very scary and very wide sweeping surveillance move. And so one thing that can happen, and here we go, now we're caught up to where we are today. One thing that can happen is that Congress can say, no, this is not something that should be dealt with as an administrative procedural decision. This is something that needs to be addressed at the congressional level. And so now we have the Senate, where there is a bill that was just presented, I believe it was yesterday, and it's bipartisan in that it's Democrat Senator Ron Wyden and Republican Senator Rand Paul submitted this bill that would stop these changes that would go into effect as part of Rule 41. And it's being called the Stopping Mass Hacking Act. No, wait, that's actually a different thing. I think it's a different thing. Anyhow, there's a lot of stuff that's happening fast, and it looks like Congress is not that excited about giving the Department of Justice and the FBI wide sweeping surveillance abilities. And what do you guys think?
Ryan, go ahead.
Well, I certainly hope that Congress acts accordingly. I sort of have my doubts it'll happen.
You know, I'm with you on the doubt side. And my doubt comes in because we're looking at a Congress right now that doesn't seem to be able to accomplish very much. There's a lot of stalemate happening. And right now we're in what, May? December isn't that far away. And getting legislation through the Senate and through the House and getting it approved by December, that doesn't seem very likely.
Mm-mm. What interests me is this process, the process of achieving a goal through specific legislation to achieve spot performance and having it affect everyone is never subject to analysis of side effects. So in my mind, for example, TSA is a good example. The government has this Pollyanna approach that you solve a problem by creating a situation, but you're not responsible for analyzing the side effects. And an assessment of the side effects is brushed aside as non-quantitative and something that gets in the way of achieving the original goal. And the original goal is always held as the Holy Grail, but a sober, experienced, responsible assessment of the possible side effects is considered quackery. And so you have a situation where the TSA is created with this Pollyanna idea of protecting passengers, and then it morphs into this giant organization that has radically failed the consumers and the travelers in the past week. So the founding fathers, not having internet technologies and the ability to implement digital things with the throw of a switch, had a
you say that as if the Illuminati balance. Are not real. Go ahead.
Had a good balance between their experience with, you know, the King of England and politics in England and assessing the side effects of legislation, and wrote the Constitution with what they thought were adequate protections. But in modern legislation, what I'm seeing is that the overriding goal is created with such momentum that even if there were a credible assessment and presentation of an awful side effect, it would be dismissed as something that couldn't be properly quantified and presented as a formidable and realistic opposition to the action at hand. You see what I'm saying? So if you want to do something that protects Americans, full force ahead with this legislation, and somebody says, "Oh, but look, these are things that are going to happen." The people who are trying to keep their privacy and their anonymity are going to end up being roped into this and unjustly accused. Oh well, that'll never happen because it'll never happen, and that's not our goal. But the side effects do happen. And it's up to somebody, Electronic Frontier Foundation, ACLU, civil rights groups, to properly and respectfully present opposition to these kinds of things in a way that has weight. And it's up to Congress to say, you know, we accept and we respect these possible awful side effects, and we're going to enfold this into our legislation as protection, rather than take this starry-eyed approach that nothing can go wrong. That's my view.
Well, I'm glad that the Senate is looking at these changes to Rule 41. By the way, it is the Stopping Mass Hacking Act, which finally we have an appropriate name for a bill that's being presented, and not something that's spin on words. But I'm glad that the Senate is looking at this and saying, yeah, you know, giving the Department of Justice and the FBI this level of freedom for conducting surveillance isn't cool. So
yeah, and John Martelar for president.
There you go.
Well, I think what I said was reflected in the spirit of these senators trying to say, no, this is not the right way to approach the problem, and we're going to stop it until we can rethink the issue. So yay to them.
Yeah, and we should be seeing a similar bill presented in the House very soon, so that they'll be running their bills parallel, which is great, because that means hopefully they can get through the whole process faster. But Brian, I'm with you. I don't think they can actually get anything done before the December deadline when the changes go into effect. Now, they can stop the changes after they've gone into effect.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, my assumption is that as soon as the Department of Justice and FBI can start getting these wide sweeping mass surveillance warrants, that they will just jump on it.
So my question to you is, if you don't have anything to hide, why are you worried about mass surveillance?
Well,
I'm
Brian,
just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to answer anyhow, because there will be some people that right now are like, actually, yeah. Wait, why does Brian say he's kidding? Okay, think of it like my underwear drawer. I may not have anything in my underwear drawer that I need to hide, but that doesn't mean that it's okay for the government to walk in my house and look in that drawer just to make sure I'm not hiding anything.
Is that because you hate being safe?
That's because I hate people looking through my underwear drawer that have no business looking there.
Well, here's the real issue is, of course, when the shape and color of your underwear is later made illegal.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the real danger to this sort of thing. It's not so much what you're worried about happening today. It's the fact that surveillance powers don't go away once granted, seldom go away. They never go away once granted. And at some point, the wrong person could have access to those powers.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to subvert them to their own personal or political or philosophical agenda outside of the law. Or, right. Of course, when the law itself gets changed to make purple underwear illegal, because only enemies of the state wear purple underwear. Everybody knows this, so you know we're going to make that illegal. And it's, you know, we must always be on guard against...
There's also the common, there's also a current effect that I've seen, the over enthusiasm for action. You know, a kid loses his lunchbox on the way to school, and the mom calls the principal and says, my kid might have had his lunch stolen. And all of a sudden there's four police cruisers and six paramedics and four fire trucks outside the school, because you're sitting around and you're bored and you go, oh, any action that's happening is an opportunity. You know, we're paid to enforce the law. Let's, you know, some event has occurred. Let's make sure everybody gets in on the action. I was reading, and along those lines, I was reading one of Jeremy Clarkson's books the other night, and he was talking about a woman who was arrested, and what happened was she was charged with putting illegal waste in a waste area that did not have a license for certain kinds of human waste. And so she was charged and arrested for violating this law. What had happened was is that she had thrown an apple core out of her car window into a field, and the field didn't have a license for absorbing human waste, so she was in violation of the law. So, you know, when people get ornery and they get enthusiastic at the same time, they're eager to invoke laws just because of the fun of exercising their authority. We can't discount that that mischievous approach that people have,
and we can't dismiss the fact that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Mm-hmm. It's an old phrase that I believe has extreme merit.
I agree.
And there's that version that one justice said in 1928, I think it was. It's a very similar concept. That Apple cited that in one of their filings in the case with the FBI.
Oh,
I can't,
right.
I can't remember what it is, but gosh darn it, it sure was good.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was either. But by golly, Brian, it was spot on.
Yep.
Yeah. I know we could keep talking about this forever, but there's more to talk about. So I want to talk about our sponsor, which is Casper. And I'm pretty excited they've been our sponsor all week because Casper makes amazing mattresses that are really high quality and they're really well made. They're this mixture of different types of foams that are laminated together to make a mattress that doesn't feel like any other foam mattress I've ever laid on. So typically a foam mattress, I get on it and I kind of sink in and it's like the alien face hugger, but for my whole body, it's, you know, it's like that creepy aunt that basically turns you into a burrito as she hugs you and then won't let go. And then you get the thing like, here's a quarter. Why didn't you rub my bunions? And then it's really, really creepy. This is the exact opposite of that. This is awesomeness. This is happiness. And this is comfort. And that's what a Casper mattress is. And I've been using one for quite a while now. And I've been very, very pleased with it. It's holding up really well. And the seams are put together just top notch. And these are things that I actually look at. Like seriously. I get out my loop because I spend a lot of time in printing, so I actually have a loop, and I look at the seams on different products that I buy. And there's probably a 12-step program for me, but don't put me in it yet because you need to know if these things are good, so I'll keep checking them for you. And I've been really impressed with the way the seams are put together on this mattress. It does matter. And the mattress is holding up so well, you would think it's brand new, even though I've been sleeping on it for what, like a year now, I think?
Year and a half, at least. I've been on mine for a year and a half.
Okay, so, and I had mine for before you had yours. So I'm probably going on easy 2 years now with a Casper mattress, and I still love it as much as the day I got it. I also love that the prices are affordable. So I have a queen size mattress, and they come in twin, full, queen, and king sizes. Start at $500, go to $950. If you were to get a similar mattress somewhere else, like I have the queen size, $850, it'd be over $1,000 somewhere else. So here's what you need to do. First, you need to start sleeping better. So you need to go to their website, which is casper.com/TDO. And then second, you need to use the discount code TDO. Because that's going to get you $50 off whichever mattress you decide to buy. And whichever one you get, you're going to be happy with it. Trust me. So casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. $50 off your mattress. It's going to be shipped to you. No shipping charges. And you have 100 days to try it out. And if you don't like it, you can send it back. But you're not going to send it back. Trust me, you are definitely going to want to keep this mattress. So hit their website, casper.com/TDO, and use the discount code TDO. Thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. All right. So before we wrap up, Brian, you ran into someone who's really interesting.
And I did. I ran into Todd Weaver.
And tell me about Todd.
The CEO of Purism, a company essentially that's competing against Apple and the rest of the surveillance capitalism world.
Surveillance capitalism.
Ooh, I love it.
Now, I took exception to him lumping Apple into the rogues gallery of surveillance capitalism. But I love that phrase to describe Google, Facebook, and the rest of the tech world that is hell-bent on plundering our lives for their profit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's selling laptops that they actually charge enough to make money on, and they're claiming that it's excellent hardware, that it's high quality design, etc. But the thing that they're really pushing is, first of all, their hardware has things like hardware kill switches for your microphone, your Wi-Fi, your camera. Mm-hmm. So if you think that you're being, or if you're in a situation where you want to make sure that no one's going to hijack your hardware from you, turn it off. Right? You can with the physical hardware switch, you can cut power to Wi-Fi, cut power to your camera, cut power to your microphone, so that it is physically impossible for someone to remotely access it.
That's really interesting. And I mean, he sounds like a really interesting guy, and his ideas on how to protect people from surveillance through the computers they're buying. He just sounds like a really interesting guy. And you said he agreed to be on Apple Context Machine?
He did. I asked him to be. It was a fascinating conversation. I met him at PepCon in San Francisco last night, and had a 30-minute conversation with him in the middle of the show floor that we had to cut, not because either one of us were tired of it, but because they were kicking us out, or kicking me out at least. And he agreed to be on ACM. We're gonna talk a lot about this stuff in depth, but his company is interesting, their approach is interesting, and his philosophical thoughts are fascinating. And he's got a lot of really interesting things to say. I don't agree with all of it, but I agree with a lot of it.
All right, so he's going to be on the May 25th Apple Context Machine, and so we'll be talking a lot about his ideas on protecting people from corporate surveillance and from government surveillance.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. I'm in. And listeners, tune in, because it's going to be a really interesting conversation. I'm looking forward to this. And with that, we are out of time. Brian, thank you so much for being here.
You bet, man.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. Can I sneeze now?
Yeah, but you better mute first.
Okay.
And Casper, thank you so much for being our sponsor today and all week long. Check out their website, casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off an amazing mattress. I am still loving mine just as much as the day I got it. And I'd love for you guys to start sleeping better just like I've done. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again next week.